In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It's a very special WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz as we're at Chickie's in South Philly for Birds at the Half. You can join us this evening starting at 6 for a special guest bartending event with Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson. Benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. Lane Johnson also a nominee for the NFL Salute to Service Award, which is very cool. You can vote for Lane at 94WIP.com. Joining us for this hour, a rare thing, Elliot Shore Parks joins us for an hour.
I thought that's why you're saying it was special, because I was here now.
Nah, you're here a lot.
Nah.
We like having
Chickies
you.
A lot. I do love coming to Chickies, so it's always always fun.
You know,
we are here a lot.
I'm gonna give Chickies a compliment.
All right, that's
good.
And then I'm going to insult our parent company.
Okay.
So we're at Chickies every Monday. This week we're here Friday or Wednesday as well, and it's a restaurant. But I leave here and I never smell like the restaurant.
Ah.
You know, like I don't have it in my hair.
Right.
My clothes don't smell.
That's a great point.
You know, and which is a big deal, by the way. Because, so, you know, before I came here to the show today, I went over to our offices to do a little show prep, and they were having a very nice. This is a nice thing that they do. A very nice Thanksgiving meal for all the staff. It's when you see the staff that only comes in, you know, three times a year.
They come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, the work from home staff.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm sitting there in the middle part of the radio state or our offices, and there's, you know, there's hundreds of people eating.
Yep.
And I left, and I smell like the friggin' food.
Yes.
Oh.
Smell like Thanksgiving.
Smell like turkey.
Which item?
It's just one smell. It's like there's certain restaurants you leave and there's just one smell.
Sure.
Now I don't have it at Chickies, which is wonderful, but I go into our offices for an hour. And I leave smelling like Thanksgiving dinner. My hair smells, my jacket smells, my pants smell. So
it's about time he smelled like turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy goes around meat one time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a lot going on.
Yep. You're around it more than I am, Elliot? Is that what you'd say?
Pause.
So, Elliot, we led the show today with this big picture question.
This new take.
All right, let's hear it.
Are the Eagles in the elite category of Super Bowl contenders with the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Detroit Lions? Are they in that category?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't they be?
I would say their passing game is not as good as those other teams.
So I would agree with you.
And the second thing is the defense has played well. I am still a little bit skeptical of the pass rush for an entire season in a playoff.
So I think both of those are fair points. I do think the passing game this year, they've had to win with the running game. They're a running team, as I've always said, right? That's their identity.
You were the first one to say that. You convinced Ike.
But I think that, you know, you can go to every team and point to deficiencies they have, right? You can't go to every team and say they've played in a Super Bowl. And Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts have gone to a Super Bowl. So I think the Lions have played better than the Eagles this year. But if you're telling me what are the teams that I think can go to the Super Bowl and win it, it matters to me that the Eagles have been in that game and that they've done it. The Lions have been very impressive. The Lions have not been to the Super Bowl. They haven't, right? They lost last year. So I think the Lions and the Eagles definitely deserve to be in the same conversation. But I don't think it's do the Eagles deserve to be in the Lions conversation. I think it's the reverse. Do the Lions deserve to be in the Eagles conversation?
Because the Eagles were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Yes, absolutely.
Why did that matter in the Bucs game last year?
They lost the Bucs game, I agree. But postseason success matters to me when I'm picking teams that are going to succeed in the postseason. It's why every year when the Sixers start, people go, well, they're not going to win, right? The Celtics have won a title. When the NBA playoffs start, it'll matter that they've done it. It'll matter that the Warriors have done it. Like, it matters to me that teams have shown they can go in the postseason to win big games. The Eagles have shown that. The Lions have kind of shown it. They've not shown it to the level the Eagles have.
Okay, if I'm playing devil's advocate, because it's a good argument, my devil's advocate would say, I've never seen this Lions team collapse like I saw this Eagles team collapse last year, and Jalen and Nick were both part of that.
Yeah, well, if you ask me who's more likely to collapse, I'd probably say the Eagles, but that wasn't the question. The question was, are they in the same class?
Sure.
And I look, the Lions are a good team. They are a good team. But I think we've gone too far with acting like they are the class of the conference, or they are definitely in that, like, elite, elite team. Like, look at these other teams we're talking about. The Chiefs have won Super Bowls, right? The Baltimore Ravens have been in the playoffs year after year. They have an MVP in Lamar Jackson. The Bills probably would have a Super Bowl if it was not for the Chiefs. Like, the Lions are impressive.
But there's a lot of mental gymnastics.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is mental.
But then why are the Niners considered the best team in the NFC? Then are the Eagles in the Niners class? The Niners have been in two Super Bowls in the last 4 years.
You want to put the Niners in that class? Go for it, because they've been there. I don't think the Niners are playing as well as the Eagles
and
the Lions this
year.
I totally agree.
So when you talk about teams that we think are playing well enough to win it, I think the Eagles are A, playing well enough to win it, and B, have shown that they can win in the playoffs. The Niners have shown that, but the Niners, A, are coming off of losing a Super Bowl, and we saw last year what that does to the Eagles, and they're not playing well.
And I guarantee you, Lions fans, and maybe even the Lions, they're keeping an eye on the Eagles.
They definitely
view the Eagles as the biggest threat to them in the NFC. It's not Green Bay. They get to play Green Bay twice a year. San Francisco is not the team they were last year when they were a juggernaut on their way back to the Super Bowl. If you look around the NFC, you're saying the Eagles are one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team. I don't know when the Lions lost their last game, but the Eagles have won six straight.
I think the Lions lost in week three. I think it was when the Lions.
So it's probably around the same around time. Around the same. So they won about seven straight. Seven or eight straight.
For me, I'm like on the borderline of doing it. I need these two games. And I don't even I don't know that I need even them to win both
games.
They
need to look good in them.
They need to look good. The Rams are not a pushover. It's in Los Angeles. And then the Ravens have not played well. But I almost don't want them angry, but playing that quarterback in Baltimore, playing that team with the Rams, I think in 2 weeks, if we've seen, it's like an eye test thing. It's not even a wins and losses thing to me. Now, if they go, it's a wins and losses thing if they lose both of them. But to me, call me in 2 weeks, and then I would put them in that category.
I think you have to go at least 1-1. Yep. And if you don't beat the Rams, you have to beat the Ravens. So
yes.
I think they, if they beat the Rams, I think the Ravens falls under the acceptable loss category. Like you go up there, you are down there, I guess.
Unless you lose 42-7.
That's why I'm saying it's an eye test thing. I think the Ravens are an eye test thing. I think the Rams are, you really got to win it.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you want to keep up the hope of getting the number one seed.
They're beating the Rams Sunday.
Agreed.
They're the better team. And in that Ravens game, it's going to be a huge matchup. I think the Ravens will be coming off a two-game losing streak, which makes
I think they lose Monday, too.
Yes, I think they lose to the Chargers Monday out there in Los Angeles. They got a short week coming back.
And then it's in Baltimore, right?
Yep, then the game is in Baltimore against us. So, yeah, I like where the Eagles are at right now, man. I'm telling you, I like where the Eagles are at right now.
You know what the Ravens game reminds me of? Remember in 2022 when the Eagles played the Titans at home?
Yeah.
And the narrative going into that game was
physical.
Titans are physical and tough, and they're winners, and Vrabel's their head coach. And the Eagles just, smacked them around in that game.
Smothered Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and good point. Derrick Henry in that game, too. I didn't think about that part of it. I think the Ravens are a similar, like, barometer for this team. I think the Eagles, they have a better defense than the Ravens do now.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they have a better offense. Lamar is the better quarterback, obviously, but I think if you go down to Baltimore and you lose that game 24-21, you know, something like that, but you clearly match the Ravens' physicality, I think that would be a really promising sign for where this team is at. I don't think you have to win the game.
I'm telling you, that damn Pittsburgh Steelers team.
They're good.
That's a tough one.
That, man, if Russ keep playing the way he's playing, man, we might be looking at Eagles Steelers Super Bowl.
And that's an overlooked game on the Eagles schedule, too.
Yes.
Like, at least at the beginning of the year.
At the beginning of the year, I thought it was a lock.
Right. But I think now we look at the Ravens game as the toughest game, and it probably still is just because it's on the road.
Is, yeah.
Well, that one's at home, so you could argue that. But I think the Steelers are a tougher team to play than the Ravens are.
The other thing about the Steelers, and he threw a really bad interception last week. You watch Russell Wilson, he looks like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I don't know what was happening in Denver last year, but he's moving.
Rashawn Payton hated him.
Well, his numbers weren't even that bad last year, which is crazy. Like, obviously, it didn't work out. But I think
Rashawn Payton didn't like him.
Yeah. But I think he had, like, 24 touchdowns, something interceptions.
He had 26 touchdowns and eight interceptions.
So his numbers actually weren't even that bad. But
and that was before they benched him.
Right.
Remember, he did all that before they actually
benched
him. He
didn't even play half the year or whatever it was.
215-592-9494. Josh in Swarthmore, you're on WIP. What's up, Josh?
Not much, fellas. How you doing today?
What up, Josh?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got it. Loud and clear, yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. Ike, by the way, where's your head at, man, with the 69 earlier? Come on, man. But listen, I think the Eagles.
Well, I can tell you where his head is.
Yeah, I was about to see.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Yeah. Where I don't know where your head was. Yeah. I just said 69.
It's a family program.
I do think the Eagles are absolutely an elite team, but you got to put a little bit of an asterisk there.
Yes.
I'm with ESP just because I think they have that Super Bowl pedigree. And Jalen, I mean, I trust him in a big game. I almost trust him more down the stretch in a big game than I would Lamar. You've seen him.
What about him versus Jared Goff?
I think Jared. That's a good one.
Jalen was better in the Super Bowl than Jared Goff was.
Wow,
that's true.
Or Jared Goff was terrible in the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But I think what divides them or keeps them, if it's anything, I would look at it like the Chiefs and the Lions are like 1A. And I put the Bills and the Eagles at 1B. And I think the biggest reason why is the Eagles play completely differently. And Jalen plays very differently when they have ball security. When they hold on to the ball, they don't turn the ball over. It seems like an obvious excuse, but he plays completely differently. With the game plan they have, if they turn the ball over, I mean, then they're staring down the barrel of the gun and they have find a way to throw the ball, which is not something they've really been great at. So if they can stay healthy and they hold on to the ball, I mean, I don't think anybody could beat this team, and that includes the Chiefs. So I do think they are elite.
Here's what I'll say about the passing game, and I'm curious because, Spike, I agree that I think it's a concern. So I'm curious how you feel about this. But I just think there's a difference between saying this Eagles team cannot throw their way to the Super Bowl. I don't think Jalen will be able to throw it 40 times, 3 games in a row, and they'll win the game.
Right.
But I think that's different than saying, can Jalen make 5 or 6 big throws in a game? So, yes, they're going to have to run the ball to get to the Super Bowl, and that's like their best form of offense. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they're incapable of throwing the ball. Like, Jalen has had big third-down completions. They've had big fourth-down completions.
Yeah.
So it sounds like I'm higher on the passing game than maybe you guys are.
Well,
Spike, I should say.
But I think it's a – thank you for the call, Josh. It's a whole game thing. It's like I don't need the quarterback to be Robert Horry. It's nice that he makes big plays, but part of the reason – like, you could be up 21-0 in games that, like, you just look at the last two games and how they struggled offensively in the first half.
Yeah.
And I'm conceding that there are other quarterbacks that struggle. But what I'm doing is, like, when you look at the Eagles' passing game this year, I think we would all say that it is not what we expected it to be in terms of efficiency.
Or the team, probably, to be
or
honest.
The team, yeah. Yep. And we also thought that... And when you look at their personnel, they should be better. So I guess my concern is that I'm not saying he should have to throw the ball 40 times. I'm saying that the efficiency with which they do it is not where I would like it to be. And I do think he makes big plays. I those things happen, absolutely. But there are going to be games that call for more than him making a big play down the stretch. And they're just... they're not there. They don't – numbers-wise, they don't pass it, and everybody rolls their eyes at DVOA. That's fine. You watch it. It doesn't pass the eye test.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think they leave meat on the bone in the passing game.
Yeah.
And I think what hurts the passing game is not, like, an inability through the whole game to do it. It's just 5 or 6 plays a game where guys are open, and Jalen is just missing them, right?
Yep.
So I do agree with you that it is a concern that they're basically counting on Jalen making it happen in these big spots. Like, I get that. It's just we've seen them do it, and I also think kind of baked into your concern is maybe this somebody's going to stop the Eagles from running the ball. I'm not so sure. I mean, their offensive line is really good. Saquon's obviously awesome. If Saquon goes down, they're in big trouble. I would be surprised if a team for a whole game is able to hold this running attack.
They might not need to hold them for a whole game.
So your worry is they just fall behind quickly.
Yeah.
They go to Detroit, they fall behind 10-0, and then it kind of snowballs.
Yeah, and by the way, 10-0 is, for a team that can throw the ball, is not quite the challenge that it will be for us. Now, I said earlier, I think their commitment to the running game and their defense allows you, I would hope, if they're in that situation, to just put their head down, get a good drive under their belts and make a 14-7 game. This sounds elementary. A 14-7 game is a lot different than a 14-0 game.
Yes.
Right?
So you're emotionally
down. You're down 14-0. All of a sudden, you're down 14-7. Then you're playing your game again. But that's not usually what teams do. Teams don't stay committed to that. And they're just gonna when you're playing the best teams, that it's just a. It's not a different game like it is in other sports, maybe in the NFL. But when you're playing the best teams, like, you're going to need that at some point, most likely.
Well, and I'll say this: if it's the Lions that we're worried about, and we assume these two teams will finish as the top two teams, they wouldn't meet until the conference championship game.
Sure.
And something tells me they will have had to develop a better passing game if they get to the NFC championship game. Like, I think the offense will be much better at that time than what we see right now. And I don't think we give enough credit to the Eagles' defense to put a little bit of a strain on that Lions' offense.
Yep.
Like, that's the way I look at it. I don't look at it like Detroit's going to run up and down the field on us scoring and we have no way to stop them. Yeah, then if that's the case, you know what? We're losing. We're not losing because Jalen can't score every time they get the ball. We're losing because our defense sucks.
Yeah,
and they can't stop anybody. So the defense has to do their part in keeping – that's why we call it complementary football. It's not one-sided football. This defense is going to be a top-ranked defense and play the way they played all year. Then that's the type of defense I expect to see when you get in the postseason. And here's the other thing that Vic Fangio is a master at. They don't give up big plays. They make you dink and dunk down the field, and then see if you can capitalize there. And so with that happening, there's going to be limited possessions. So you're not going to get into a shootout where you're scoring, you got to score 30, they score 30. They play the Lions. It wouldn't surprise me if it's a 27-24, 24-21 type of football
so
game.
So the only thing I would disagree with you in on there is I just don't think it's on the defense. Like if they lose to Detroit 37-34, like, yes, the offense will have played better, but all the money's on the offensive side of the ball. Expecting the defense to carry them to a Super Bowl, it'd be nice.
It's not carrying them. Carrying them means the other side is not doing their
part.
No,
I get that, but I'm saying.
But no, that's what carrying means. No,
right.
I'm expecting the defense to do their job.
Yes.
That's what I expect them to do. It's not a Super Bowl team. If you don't think the defense is good enough, then it's not a Super Bowl team.
But I just think in this league, it's hard to expect the defense to be the reason
you win. No, it's not. No, it's not. Kansas City.
So Kansas City's a good example, but they also do have Patrick Mahomes, which I think has to factor in.
Oh, my God. That was a defensive-led team.
They were. But they
won the Super Bowl.
Right, but they still had Patrick Mahomes. And
I understand
that. Super Bowl, I think they had to get to what?
They had to get to what?
Wasn't it 28?
The score was 13-13, I believe, going into overtime. Wasn't it?
Maybe into the fourth. Regardless, I agree. Look, the defense was very good for Kansas City. But what I'm saying is all the money's on the offense side of the ball. All the players.
I understand that.
So I in the playoffs, if they're losing, like to your point, where if the defense is struggling and it's back and forth and back and forth, I'll be more disappointed in the offense for not getting it done than I will be for the defense.
I don't care about that.
Like,
everybody can choose who they want to be disappointed in for whatever reason.
Right.
My thing is if an offense scores 34 points, I'm not coming out of the game saying the offense cost us the game.
Well, who's going to get blamed for that game?
Just like I didn't say the offense cost us the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the offense did cost them.
Well, I'm just telling you, I didn't
say
it.
Yeah, no, I know.
You never heard me.
So we already know what this debate will sound like.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you.
It depends on what the score is. Just like if we lose 16-13.
If we lose,
I'm not going to blame the defense. I'm going to say the offense didn't do enough.
Right.
If we lose 37-34, I'll tell you who will get blamed. Unless there is an interception in the end zone. Nick.
Yeah. You can come up with a lot of scores where Nick will get blamed, I think.
Yeah. So the Eagles, I just haven't, other than that Tampa game, I haven't seen the defense look like that this year.
I agree. I don't think the defense is going to get lit up. I do think going to Detroit is a really, really hard challenge.
Or might not have to go to Detroit.
Maybe not. I agree.
Well, we will talk about that next, the Eagles' ability to get the one seed and – Jack, I think we have to do a little of grading of Elliot.
Oh, nice.
Love it.
Well, there's two specific things I think we all as a group need to determine the legitimacy of a couple of different things.
Well, the best part about being on your show more often is it gives you more and more chances to essentially make fun of me through different segments.
Well, look, this is what the entire show is like for all of us.
I know. Yes. Okay. Yes. I feel at home when you do
The top five is almost always about Ike. The text line is almost always making fun of me.
Yeah, and all the Twitter mentions are about me. So it even
We get a few. Jack gets a few Twitter mentions as well. But yes,
we dodge and weave.
Yeah, we dodge and weave. So that is all coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show. We are at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly for Birds of the Half, that benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation tomorrow, Terminal E, 7:30 a.m.
Yeah, are you going to be here for that, Elliot?
What are you doing?
Tailgated Terminal E.
With Elliot?
Elliot will be at Chickie's.
7:30 in the morning.
At Chickie's and Terminal E at the airport. You can get your free Bud Light Eagle shirt while supplies last.
Last time I did this, Hugh made me take 5 shots of Honey Jack. It was quite
God. At the airport?
At the airport,
at 7 in the morning?
Yeah, it was fun.
Honey Jack?
Yeah.
Was that like, is that Jack Daniels?
Yeah,
Jack Daniels
honey flavored, yeah.
5 shots?
5 shots,
Once I figured it was Jack Daniels, I figured out.
Yeah.
It was a long
day. Good reasoning, yeah.
It was a long day.
Five
it
shots
fun,
before
though.
A flight?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you went to sleep?
No, I actually did the opposite.
You didn't go to sleep
Hold on. Did you have a hit with us that afternoon?
No.
Are you a good hang at the airport, Elliot?
Oh, did you just hear what I just said? Yes, okay. I'm an amazing
guy. Well, it sounds like Hugh's
a good hang.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not doing 5 shots of Honey Jack tomorrow morning.
Well, until Hugh says you better.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.